of her mother. So happened just the mother had a tendency to be forgetful. So the plants that the daughter left behind in the care of her mother die at the end of the month, the end of September, I suppose. So the mother broke the bad news to her when she called. And then a week later, the young woman called again. Her mother confessed that the goldfish had also died. And there was a long pause. Then in a fearful voice, the girl asked, how's the dad? As we come into the Christmas season, it's so easy to forget what is not important. I think if you forget, if you are so busy and forget about the true meaning of Christmas, you might fall into this category. I'm sure that dad is fine, but the goldfish, the plant were dead because they are not important and they were forgotten. Many of us would not forget something important, but we tend to forget something that are not important to us. And I hope Christmas is not one of the things that you forget in the true meaning of it. Christmas time is very busy. I think one of the reasons I mentioned a couple of times, we are so busy going to shopping mall. Well, if you went there the last few days, it was just incredible busy places. Shopping malls is not the place that I wanted to go before Christmas. But we are just like that. We are compelled to go there and to do shopping. We seem to be losing control of ourselves, and we just had to go there and buy and buy and buy. I heard a lady a couple of days ago, an older lady, she told us that many years ago, Christmas was not like that at all. Christmas was the time that people went to church even before Christmas. And then during the Christmas holidays, they were just cooking all day, eating, arguing with, was simply a part of Christmas when family got together. No one really knew when Christmas became a time of shopping and buying gifts for everyone on the list. It seems that we Christians also fall into this unhealthy phenomenon. We are so busy buying, preparing gifts for people, and we might forget the true meaning of Christmas. Well, besides shopping, I think the other events that you do quite often during the Christmas time is what? You got it. Eating. Perhaps you have already gone to a few Christmas parties and dinners. I'm sure there are a few more to come in the next couple of days. If you have a Christmas party, I wonder what kind of people you would invite to your Christmas party. Or when you are going to others' Christmas party from your friends or families, so what kind of friends or people will be on the list? What kind of people you expect to see when you get there? I'm sure you will not expect to see the social outcast. You will not invite them. Most likely they will not be on your list, and you don't expect to see them at your friend's house. However, God has something in mind. He has done something different. And today I want to share with you the true meaning of Christmas. Well, if you look at Luke chapter 2, the palace in those days, the temple at the city of Jerusalem did not get to hear the announcement. The announcement went to the birth of Jesus Christ, went to a group of shepherds on the outside of Bethlehem. You might wonder why, for so long, why shepherds? As I said, the background of this story is important as I share this message with you. Why not more religious recipients? How come only shepherds receive this wonderful news? Why waste it on shepherds? Was it because the angel did not like the palace or the temple in Jerusalem? Or the angel was more like an introvert. He just liked to share with small group of people in the wilderness. Why shepherds? I'm sure there are many reasons a lot of people suggested to you, but today I wanted to share 2 points with you. Why shepherds? Why this message, the glorious message, announcement, went to shepherds in the wilderness? The first point I want to share with you today is by appearing to shepherds, we see the connection between Jesus and them. If you know the Old Testament well, you know that the great leaders of Jewish history, they had a connection with shepherding. If you look at Moses, David, you know that Moses was in Exodus chapter 3. We read that Moses was doing shepherding when he saw the burning bush. For 40 years, he was in the wilderness looking after the sheep. The knowledge, the education he had received the first 40 years of his life in Egypt was not enough. He had to spend another 40 years to prepare him. God had to prepare him to lead people out of Egypt. King David, he was also called Shepherd King. When he was a teenager, he was a shepherd. He looked after sheep, and he became one of the greatest kings in history. And both of them, something to do with shepherding. They were supposed to learn to know how to lead people, to look after people. Isaiah, right here, already foretold the coming Messiah. He tends his flock like a shepherd. So there's something to do with this coming Messiah. He was supposed to be like a shepherd. And it's already foretold in the book of Isaiah. Jesus' ministry is similar to shepherding. If you look at his life, you will see that the shepherd of all shepherds was just being born. And Jesus embraced that description. He actually said that himself in John chapter 10. That was his task. I am the good shepherd. By first announcing the birth of Christ to shepherds, God gave a glimpse. God gave us some ideas what kind of ministry Jesus would have. He was like sheep herding. In many ways, trying to get people to follow the path of the Lord is like herding sheep. It's a tough work. Never having day off. You know the characteristic of sheep? They needed constant attention and care, brothers and sisters. They could not be left alone for a moment or else trouble would find them. They were just being simple-minded, and they were stubborn in sometimes, and they just follow whatever is leading them. Even jumping off the cliff, they would just follow. And Jesus was going to love the sheep because he was the greatest shepherd. He would die for us because he wanted to lead us back to God. The second point, why shepherds? I think God intentionally used the outcast as messenger of the good news. The second point I want to share with you is God intentionally used the outcast as messengers of the good news. Now, I'm going to talk to you about a few minutes about shepherds. In those days, they were socially outcasts. These people received the announcement, but they were not a perfect people. Shepherds in those days were bottom line social outcasts. They did not fit in with the culture because they were out there, out in the wilderness all the time. They were traveling all the time. They are moving the sheep all the time. And they had not much have a home life. They didn't have the 9-to-5 jobs, 2 kids, and 2-car garages. Even they have those, they never enjoy it. A fence with have much room, you know, a fence with a swing behind. They don't have those things. Even they have, they never enjoy it because they were out there all the time. And they have a very bad reputation because when the sheep were missing without a trace, and some people would expect that they were the ones stealing the sheep. So they were accused being thieves all the time. When you came to this job, you carry all these expectations, all so-called labels. They could not be trusted. They could not go to court to testify, just like women in those days. Nobody trusts them. and they were outcasts. And they live and move around with sheep all the time. They didn't look good. They didn't smell good because they were with animals all the time. They were uneducated. They were simple-minded people. Not only they were socially outcast, they were also religiously unclean because they will not be able to go to temple. They will not be able to undergo all those so-called rituals and attend certain festivals and make themselves clean, acceptable to God. They were moving around all the time. They would not be able to join those events. For them, they were unclean. If you are clean people, regular religious, upright people in those days, you will not even touch them because they were unclean. And you are not supposed to be unclean when you came to God. Because they move all the time, they were not accepted in the temple. If they came to the temple, people will look at them kind of weird. Why are you here? You are not supposed to be here. You should not be here. You are not one of us. You should be out there doing your work. Being a shepherd, maybe a good pay. I don't know why people would become a shepherd. But when you became a shepherd, all these labels came upon you. They were backward people because they were not done with all the new trends. They have no iPods, no iPads, no email address, no laptops. None, because they were moving all the time. And they were not good enough for God, and they were not good enough for God's people. So-called upright, righteous, clean, religious people. It was these people, outcasts, that announcement came. God used these unlike means to convey his message of salvation because he silenced the so-called expert religious leaders. I think there are two things we can learn from this. I hope you listen carefully now. I think there are two things we can learn, two points we can learn from this. God treats everyone the same. It's because I am not convinced that we are better than these social outcasts today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 29. Paul tells us that we are not as good as we think. And if you look at it, this passage, you will see he chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are so that no one may boast before him. And this is God's plan. And that was one of the reasons I think he chose to make an announcement, the birth of Christ, to these shepherds, outcast, socially unaccepted people, religious and clean. I think God wants us to get a message. He treats everyone the same. There's a story about a couple with a kid, 3-year-old boy, Eric. So one summer day, they went for dinner. Summer is also, even 7 o'clock is still bright. So they were out there, went to a restaurant. And because it's summer, they were sitting in the patio, you know, sitting outside the restaurant. So they saw they can really close to the street. So when they sat down, that was the only kid in the whole restaurant. So when they sat down, it was, you know, the parents were already kind of uptight. And because Eric was the only kid in the restaurant. But all of a sudden, he made a lot of noise because he saw an old man at the corner of the street. And he said hi to him. Hi there, you know. He was just making a lot of noise, trying to connect with this old, dirty man at the corner of the street. This man was dirty, he was old, his hair was uncombed for a long time, unwashed for a long time. Well, he was standing so far, so they can imagine he must be smelly, but of course they could not smell him at that point, but you can imagine. So the boy was just keep doing that. He wanted to connect with this old man, saying hi to him, smiling to him, making fun with him, all these things. And this old man saw this kid, and he responded well too, positively. And the husband and the mom, the father, was kind of embarrassed. So what would you do in a situation like that? You would try to maybe stop the kid connecting with this old man standing at the corner of the street. But this boy keep doing it. So they finished their dinner, and they were prepared to leave, and this old man was standing close to the door of the restaurant, ready to try to connect with this baby. But the mother was so scared. The husband went to pay for the meals, and when they were getting close to the door, the mom was trying to turn the back toward the old man, trying to protect herself, maybe even the baby. But by doing that, actually, Eric had an opportunity to open up his arms, and he jumped almost from his mom to this old man. And he hugged this old man tightly, and this old man, of course, hugged him tightly at the same time. And they were having fun. The mother was just could not respond. And at a moment like that, of course, she would not run away without Eric. So she was just standing there, and she saw the old man starting to cry. And then he opened his eyes and looked at the mom and said, "You take care of this baby." Somehow this mom said, "I will." So he got Eric back, and the old man said, "God bless you, ma'am. You have given me my Christmas gift." And this mom ran to the car, and the husband came and saw her crying. And the mom said, my God, forgive me. The ragged old man had reminded me to enter the kingdom of God, we must become as a little child. This story gave me a new understanding of what Jesus said. We must enter the kingdom of God like a child. Eric just has a simple trust. He did not judge this old man. He just simply liked him. Do you have a hard time relating to people like the shepherds in Jesus' time? Or old men in this story? Or do you relate more to those who overlook, to do the overlooking, just like this mom or the dad? Than with those who are overlooked? Do you relate more with the social elite or the upper middle class professions? I think God wants us to remember, by announcing this news to the shepherds in the wilderness in those days, I think God reminds us that he treats us all the same. There's no social levels. Everyone to him is the same, starting from the birth of Jesus Christ. If you look at the scriptures, there are many scriptures talks about God loves people to be humble before him. People who are willing to follow him without questioning. Oh, it's too small, sorry guys. Or judging others the first time we saw people. The second point I think we can learn from this story: these shepherds simply believe and share the message. They were not religious experts. They did not go home and study the Old Testament and see what happened. Is truly the Messiah coming? Was these angels real angels or just someone else? They simply believe what they saw. Simple people who are willing to simply believe what God told them and simply do what God commanded them. If you look at the story, the angels left and they were just rushing and trying to meet this newborn king. Not only they met him, and what happened afterwards? They shared the good news with other people. They overcome all these labels that were on them. They could not be trusted, and they were unclean religiously, and they were social outcasts. Nobody welcomed them in the city. Nobody welcomed them in the street, but they came. They were overcome all these so-called reasonings or excuse, and they just came to share the gospel, the good news with other people, and people were just amazed, the scripture says. Because I can imagine they were so convincing with this message. Dear brothers and sisters, you said that, Pastor, I was brought up in a middle-class home. I took universities. I got a good job. I got a good pay. I'm not going to be a social outcast. My parents will not allow me. They make sure I'm on the right path to be successful, to be great and accepted in societies. So what this message is all about? Well, the great news, the topics for today, the great news is that God can use you and me to share the good news. Whether you are middle class, professionals, or so-called social outcasts, people are being overlooked because they are poor, they don't dress as well as you do, and some of them, and many of them, has emotional problems, mental problems, and you feel awkward when you see them. A lot of time you would rather run away when you see them. But I encourage you with this passage. God doesn't see them like that. I'm very happy that we have been involved in different community services in the last few years. We will continue to do that, and we hope, my prayer is that we will overcome all these barriers that society put on us. Stay away from all these people. They are troublemakers. They take your advantages, even though they might not hurt you. But maybe I would be better off not to relate to them. But God treats us the same, and He expects the same from us. Whether you are middle class, you are professional, or you think you are outcast in school, wherever you feel that way, God treats everyone the same and expects the same from you and me. I think this is all we need. We have a simple trust like a child, Eric. 3 years old. They were simple-minded, 3 years old. When they see someone they like, they like. If they see someone they don't like, they don't like. And we have obedient heart like those shepherds. They just follow. Whatever the angels told them to do, they were just going into the town and find Jesus. Not only they found him, they shared the good news with other people. Brothers and sisters, your next couple of days, today, tomorrow, Tuesday, well, Boxing Day, I'm not sure. In the next few days, I'm sure you'll be going to meet up with a lot of people, starting maybe lunchtime and dinner, and tomorrow. Breakfast may be at home, but lunch, dinner, you already plan everything, meeting with different people, and I hope that you will take the opportunities to share the good news. Because the great news is what? God is going to use you and use me to share this good news. God treats us the same. So whether you are a student, you are a professional, earning 6 digits or 5, hopefully it's not 4, or you feel you are outcast, that means you have no excuse. I have no excuse. God is going to use you and me if we are willing, if we have this simple trust and this willing heart to follow. So I hope that God will give us opportunities when we meet up with our family members, relatives. The next few days, you will bring up this wonderful meaning of Christmas. A lot of us in Toronto, we are kind of hesitate to say Merry Christmas to our coworkers, right? Because you think, well, this is not socially acceptable anymore to say Merry Christmas. But keep saying it. Because if you're Christians, you and I would not say it, Merry Christmas would be gone in Toronto, in your society, and in Canada. The other day, the guy came to check the gas meter in my home. I see him every other month. And when he left a few days ago, I said, Merry Christmas. I intentionally say that to him. You know what he said? Happy New Year. So I think he did not believe in Jesus Christ, and they did not celebrate Christmas. But I think it's our task, our privilege to say Merry Christmas, because we do believe the meaning of Christmas. And I hope that you will not forget why we are so busy doing all these things in December. We only forget what is not important, brothers and sisters. Think about it. I hope that these few days you will not forget to share the good news when you meet up with people. Let's pray. My Father, we give you thanks for NCAC, our brothers and sisters. Lord, we thank you for giving us a vision to reach out to communities around the church. Lord, we thank you for your desire to encourage us to overcome a lot of barriers that we were trained, we were educated when we were growing up. Stay away from all those bad people, poor people, social outcasts, so-called weird people. Lord, we pray that not only we will overcome all these barriers, but Lord, we truly pray that we will have a heart for them as well. Lord, just like you love those shepherds in the wilderness, you shared a wonderful announcement with them and let us know that this is very unique way of doing things. You want us to know that you treat everyone as equal. There's no social class. There's no weird people in your sight. Lord, we just pray that not only we will love and care and embrace these people, Lord, we pray that we will be able to learn from them. Learn from the story, the Eric, 3-year-old boy. Lord, we just pray that we will know how to love people without judging, without judgment, without fear. And give us a heart to obey what you ask us to do. In the next few days, I pray that when we go out there and have a family time, dinner with our co-workers, our friends. Lord, we pray that we will be able to bring up the true meaning of Christmas and truly celebrate the meaning of it. Lord, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.